第三天，六点五到九分范文。媒体类范文一。
The news media play an important role in modern society. Why are the news media so important? Is the influence of the news media positive or negative?
The news media, such as newspapers, news magazines, news websites, and TV news shows, are a very influential part of our lives. There are two main reasons why the news media are important and popular in the 21st century. The first one is that news reporting provides people with information about the events that just happened in their communities, cities, countries, or even other countries. As we are living in a more competitive and globalized world, people who have access to the latest news can usually make better informed decisions and therefore have competitive advantages. The second reason for the importance and popularity of the news media is that people are naturally curious about new things. Through media reports, we can get new information about important events and celebrities, which not only satisfies our curiosity, but also offers us interesting conversation topics. On the other hand, nowadays, many news media companies are trying to increase their popularity and influence by adding entertainment value to their news reports. This often leads to false news stories and results in widespread distrust of the news media. Another problem is that many news media networks today have close connections with politicians. News presented by these networks is often biased and is used to manipulate the public's opinion to help the politicians gain political advantages. To conclude, it is clear that the increasing influence and power of the news media is a result of the knowledge, convenience, and business value that they can provide. However, I believe that dishonest journalists and news media networks who spread false news should be punished by the law.
媒体类范文二。
There is an increasing amount of advertising directed at children, which encourages them to buy goods such as toys and snacks. Many parents are worried that these advertisements may be harmful to children. However, some companies claim that their advertising provides children with useful information. Discuss both these views and give your own opinion.
Much more advertising is aimed at children today than ever before. This trend has caused debate between parents and the companies whose products are advertised. Many parents argue that advertisements mislead children about the benefits of the products and cause them to form negative habits. This is true to some extent. A large proportion of advertisements aimed at children promote junk food and toys that contribute little to children's physical and social development. As it is harder for children to resist the influence of advertising than for adults, many of them buy advertised junk food and toys or ask their parents to buy these products for them. Children who are frequently exposed to advertising are therefore more likely to develop an unhealthy diet and spend too much time playing with toys. By contrast, some companies claim that the advertisements of their products provide children with access to a large amount of useful information. For example, some TV commercials are for educational toys that can develop children's thinking abilities, language skills, or artistic creativity. There are also advertisements that help to promote healthy lifestyles among children, such as TV commercials for sports products and outdoor activity products. They tend to feature famous athletes or natural scenery and encourage children to lead a more active lifestyle. My own view is that snack and toy advertising that targets children should be regulated by the government, and more research on the long-term effects of advertising on the rates of children's diet-related diseases such as obesity and high blood pressure should be conducted by scientists. Some people think that reading for pleasure is more useful in developing children's language skills and imagination than watching TV and surfing the internet. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
A. Some people think that reading for pleasure is the better way for children to develop imagination and language skills than watching television and using the internet. Personally, I believe that television and the internet can also help children to greatly improve their imagination and language abilities. I agree that reading for pleasure can benefit children's development of imagination and language skills. Reading books for fun provides them with an important source of creativity and imagination for many other activities, including drawing and writing. For example, many young girls enjoy drawing Cinderella and Snow White, who are imaginary characters they have read about in fairy tale books. Similarly, it is often the books they have read that give children interesting ideas when they put pen to paper in creative writing class. Reading literature, such as short stories and novels, could also enhance children's language abilities, especially their vocabulary knowledge and narrative skills. However, this does not mean that television and the internet cannot effectively help children to develop language skills or imagination. Young television viewers today have access to a wide variety of news shows, drama series, and educational programs. They can learn many words and phrases when watching these programs and see people's activities for which the words and phrases are used. This helps to improve their listening, pronunciation, and vocabulary skills very quickly. Also, there are many interactive activities on the internet, such as chatting online and writing posts and comments, which all allow children to practice their language skills. Even playing games online can develop children's imagination, because many online games are role-playing games that require players to imagine themselves being characters in the games. In conclusion, although I agree that reading books for pleasure can significantly improve children's language and imagination skills, it seems to me that television and the internet are also powerful tools to help children to develop and practice these skills.
B. Many parents and educators think that children should spend more time reading books for pleasure because that helps them to develop better language skills and become more imaginative. I partly agree with this view. It is true that leisure reading is very effective in developing children's imagination skills. Fiction works of settings completely different from those in which their readers live, and characters who are unlike the young reader's family members and friends. Children have to constantly use their imagination to explore the unfamiliar world in those stories. Even non-fiction books, such as biographies and history books, require young readers to use their imagination to relate to the actions and decisions of the people in the books. By contrast, watching TV and using the internet for pleasure are mainly passive entertainment that does not need much imaginative interpretation. Watching TV and surfing the internet are thus not as effective as leisure reading in developing children's imagination. I also agree that reading books for pleasure significantly improves children's reading and writing skills because books mainly provide textual content. When it comes to listening and speaking skills, however, as frequent television viewers and internet users are exposed to large amounts of multimedia information and many interactive activities, they are more likely to be proficient in listening and speaking skills, such as answering questions and expressing their opinions. In conclusion, I believe that leisure reading is more beneficial to the development of children's imagination, reading, and writing skills, while television and the internet are more helpful in developing children's listening and speaking skills. A reasonable balance between reading for pleasure and enjoying electronic screen media should be encouraged among children to help them to achieve their potential in imagination and language development. Public libraries should only provide books and should not spend their limited resources on high-tech media such as computer software, videos, or DVDs. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
The purpose of traditional libraries is to store and provide access to paper books. However, I disagree that only providing paper books would be the best way for public libraries to serve their users in the 21st century. Public libraries are funded with their city's tax money, so they should try to meet the needs of the local residents. In the past, library users mainly relied on paper books for information. Today, however, multimedia resources such as computer software, videos, and DVDs are playing important roles in people's search for information. They are more interactive and are well suited to children whose attention span is not very long. Multimedia resources can also hold much more information than books. For example, the data of hundreds of paper books can be stored on a DVD. As many public libraries today lack space for the storage of paper books, multimedia devices can help libraries to increase their collection and supply of information. Another advantage of multimedia resources is that the key information in them can be easily found with electronic search tools, while the key words and phrases in paper books are often hard to find, even with the help of indexes. As a result, the running costs of libraries providing multimedia resources tend to be lower than those of traditional libraries, because book-based libraries have to hire more staff members to help readers to find the information that they need. In spite of this, some library users may feel that paper books suit their reading habits better. They enjoy holding a book and turning the pages, or simply the texture of paper. Paper books are also less likely to cause eye strain for readers than multimedia reading devices. In conclusion, I believe that good public libraries should provide access to multimedia resources while continuing to provide users with a wide selection of paper books. Today, news reported by the media tends to focus on problems and emergencies rather than on positive developments. Some people think that is harmful to both individuals and society. Do you agree or disagree with this view?
Some people think that media reports focusing on social problems and emergency situations have negative effects on individuals in society. Personally, I believe that such reports can also have benefits for individuals and society. On the one hand, it is true that the pace of life today is fast and the competition is fierce in almost all fields. People have enough to worry about even without the media coverage of social problems. Constant media reporting on these problems are likely to increase people's stress and anxiety levels. Also, frequent exposure to social problems and emergencies, such as car accidents, building fires, and natural disasters, may make individuals indifferent to them and less sympathetic to the victims. On the other hand, I believe that there are some benefits to the media coverage of social problems and emergency situations. It can raise public awareness of a wide range of social problems, such as poverty, gender discrimination, and crime. In democratic societies, increased public awareness of these problems can often translate into more public support and government funding for solutions to them. Furthermore, responsible media reports about emergencies such as floods and earthquakes can provide important information to individuals who have families or friends in the affected area but cannot go to the area because of the disaster. Such reports also help charitable organisations to determine the amount of emergency aid needed. In conclusion, the media reports of social problems and emergencies serve useful purposes for both individuals and society as a whole. At the same time, there should be government regulation of these reports to ensure that they are objective and fair. Some people think that the high sales of popular consumer products reflect the power of advertising and not the real needs of the society in which they are sold. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
Nowadays, there are lots of advertisements on television or on the streets. Some people think that the advertising boosts the sale of goods, and it encourages people to buy things unnecessarily. This argument may be true. In my country, many advertising companies produce advertisements with famous and popular actors or singers. People, especially youngsters, buy goods that their favourite singer advertised, although they do not really need the products. Also, on the television screen, a product may look gorgeous and good quality. As a result of it, people often buy goods without enough consideration. Consumers may not actually need it, but they buy goods impulsively soon after they watch the advertising. Furthermore, as many customers buy a particular product due to its advertising campaign, the other people may be affected by the trend, even if the product is not of the real needs of the society. On the other hand, there are various aspects against these arguments. Moreover, it is people's choice to make a decision to buy goods. Advertising may be not a cause of customers' buying habits. Individuals have their own spending habits. If they have got enough disposable income, then the right to make a decision is given to them. No one actually can judge whether the goods sold are the real needs of the society or not. In addition, as there should be a limited amount of disposable income consumers are able to spend, people try to allocate their budgets. They cannot be simply swayed by those advertisements. In conclusion, as customers have their own strong opinions and standard of good quality goods, it is better to leave them to make their own decision in buying goods. It is fairly difficult to say everyone is swayed by advertising and buying goods impulsively. However, in the sensitive area of businesses, such as toy industries, it may be necessary to ban advertising to those children, as children have not got enough ability to control themselves or to know what they need. Advertisements play a major role on TV in market economies. Despite the benefits of such information, many people criticize the role of TV advertising. To what extent do you agree or disagree with their view?
Unlike the internet, where we can often disable pop-up advertising windows, we cannot screen TV advertisements out of our lives. The question is whether the price is worth paying. Some good arguments can be made in defence of TV advertising. Firstly, advertisements provide information, and information is essential to a modern economy because it brings those who have products and services into contact with those who want to buy. Indeed, advertisements are the most efficient means of such communication and help to keep the price of consumer goods down. Secondly, the advertising industry is a significant source of employment. Thirdly, advertisements are often charming and well filmed, a source of entertainment in themselves. Finally, we should not overlook the fact that advertisements make most TV possible in the first place through the revenue they generate. However, TV advertisements also present a number of objectionable features. Most obviously, they interrupt TV programs, distract our attention, and may spoil our enjoyment or learning. Then there is the question of the messages that the advertisements convey. They do not simply give us information about products that we may want to buy. They also arouse the desires to buy new products and leave us dissatisfied until we buy them. At a deeper level, advertisements often present us with a fantasy world that makes us false promises of happiness, popularity, and so on. Advertisements thus threaten to turn our culture into a collection of commodities and create wasteful consumption. Given the reality of the modern economy, we cannot avoid advertisements on TV, but at least we can evaluate their messages and their effect. That is the way to not be overly swayed by them. Some people feel that entertainers, e.g. film stars, pop musicians or sports stars, are paid too much money. Do you agree or disagree? Which other types of job should be highly paid?
I agree with the view that stars in the entertainment business are usually overpaid. This is true whether we are considering stars of film, sport or popular music. And it often seems that the amount of money they are able to earn in a short time cannot possibly be justified by the amount of work they do. However, it is also true that it is only those who reach the very top of their profession who can get these huge salaries. So the size of salary that stars expect is closely linked to the competition they have to overcome in order to reach success. They are, in effect, rare talents. Furthermore, the majority of stars do not hold their top positions long. Sports stars and pop stars, for example, are soon replaced by the next younger, more energetic generation, while the good looks of most film stars quickly fade. So this relatively short working life may be some justification for the very high pay. Unfortunately, professionals from other fields who make a much greater contribution to human society are paid so much less that it is hard to disagree with the statement. Teachers, nurses, laboratory researchers, etc., are never listed among the best paid professionals. Yet they are more important to our well-being and our future than the stars who earn their fortunes so quickly. In conclusion, I think there may be some reasons why entertainment stars earn higher salaries, but overall, I agree that they are overpaid. The gaps between their earnings and those of people who work less selfishly for the good of society cannot be justified. Such professionals should be much better appreciated and better paid. Television has had a significant influence on the culture of many societies. To what extent do you think television has positively or negatively affected cultural development?
It has been around 40 years since television was first introduced into British households, and people today still have mixed views on whether it has a positive or negative influence on society. Many people believe that television damages culture. It promotes the stronger culture of countries such as Britain and the US, and weakens the cultures of less wealthy countries. This is because the stronger countries are able to assert their own culture by producing more programmes that are shown widely around the world. These programmes then influence people, particularly young people, in the countries where they are shown. Also, as television networks need to attract large audience to secure their financial survival, they must produce programmes that are interesting to a broad range of people. In Britain, this range is very broad because we are a multicultural society, and people of all backgrounds like to watch television. To interest all these different people, most television programmes are short, full of action and excitement, and pursue themes common to all cultures, such as crime and romance. Television programmes that concentrate on or develop themes related to one particular culture are not so successful because they only interest a smaller audience. Nevertheless, we must recognise that television does have some positive effects on cultures within a society. People who do not live within their own culture can access it through multicultural stations on TV. In conclusion, I take the view that television promotes and strengthens those cultures that are wealthy and influential, while it weakens cultures that are already in a weak position. Traditional games are more useful than modern games in developing children's skills. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree with the view that traditional games are superior to modern games in helping children to develop their skills. It has been scientifically proven that playing video games can improve the memory retention and recall skills of teenage memory loss patients. Research findings also suggest that action games such as Counter-Strike and Diablo 3 can sharpen children's hand-eye coordination and visual tracking skills. These skills are essential for a wide range of careers, including surgery, laboratory research, and the performing arts. Many other modern games, such as online math, puzzle, and chess games, can hone children's problem-solving and reasoning skills as effectively as traditional intellectual games, for example, card games and board games. When it comes to helping children to develop their social skills, the bias against modern games also seems unjustified. In fact, multiplayer interactive games, including WoW, World of Warcraft, and Star Wars, have created large online communities that provide young gamers with abundant opportunities to socialize and collaborate with other game enthusiasts. Admittedly, some video games are violent in nature and feature death and destruction, which can increase aggressive behavior among young players. Also, excessive gaming can hurt players' eyes and is likely to result in a sedentary lifestyle. However, in terms of developing children's skills, I do not believe that traditional games are more useful than modern electronic games. The key, therefore, is to steer children clear of violent themes and set rules and limitations to prevent them from becoming addicted to gaming rather than relegate all game consoles to locked drawers. Some people think the media should stop reporting on details of crime. What is your opinion?
The print and electronic media today dedicate large amounts of space and airtime to detailed reports about crime. Personally, I believe that such details should be strictly censored, if not banned altogether. The main purpose of journalists covering the details of criminal acts is to boost newspaper circulations or TV ratings. As a result, crime coverage tends to be exaggerated or even fraudulent, which only creates fear in communities and makes law-abiding citizens apprehensive about crime. Another disturbing fact is that some detailed media reports about crime cause public prejudice against the suspects, making them appear to be guilty before a court renders a decision. The accused is thus denied the right to a fair trial. Some other media reports focus on the most sensational crime stories, which makes committing those crimes seem like a glamorous adventure. This kind of coverage is particularly misleading to young audiences, and therefore should be discouraged. Detailed reports about violent crime may also further traumatize victims who have been physically and emotionally scarred. Although crime coverage may inform other citizens about crimes occurring in their cities or communities, it often shows little concern for the privacy and feelings of victims. Unless victims consent to the disclosure, detailed media accounts of the violence inflicted upon them only add to their suffering. In summary, I would argue that detailed crime coverage should no longer go unchecked because it may be false, may further drive up the already high crime rates, and may bring additional suffering to the victims of crime.